Pastor John for the message.
Oh, thank you, Joshua and the team, and good morning to all of you. Every time I have to do this. Good morning. So good to have you, and we are here in the church on a Christmas morning. I know the weather is so nice. We'd rather curl up in bed, maybe with a book, and that could be a better way to spend our time. But still, you are here, and for that, we're happy. What is Christmas all about? The problem is, for some of us, we have spent many Christmases before, and we've been to many parties, eating and telling the same lame jokes. What is Christmas all about? Is Christmas also all about the tree? And this is the topic that we'd like to consider this morning. And with that, I'd just like for you to watch a 1 minute video about the Christmas tree. All over the world. I love Christmas. Many people do. I love everything about Christmas. I love the trees. I love the carols. I love the gifts. I love the food. And today, after the service, we're going to have lots of food. And Christmas, one of the tradition is to have a turkey. How many of you love turkeys? Nobody? All right. If you don't like turkey, take a look at this. How many of you like kampung chicken instead? All right, today we're going to have a very nice turkey. Linda brought it. All right, she's prepared it. Turkey is great. Kampung chicken is also good. Whichever, it's the time of the year, the turkeys will tell you, eat more kampung chicken. And for some of us who are still working, we love Christmas because it's the time of the year we get our bonuses, don't we? All right. So many people all over the world love Christmas. And one of the main thing about Christmas, it is the tree. It is the tree. And they're so obsessed with the tree. And if you look at our Christmas tree here, we like to thank the young people for putting it up. We couldn't find a cross, a star, or what. Put a Santa hat on it, right? So you see, you can do whatever you want with a Christmas tree. You can hang whatever you want on that Christmas tree. Is it about the Christmas tree? Is it about Santa Claus? Is it about the log cakes and the gifts? I just want to quickly run you through some Christmas traditions that we usually see today. We celebrate Christmas on 25th December. That's a tradition. Then there is this fat man called Santa Claus. And for some people, they must have the log cake. And of course, not forgetting the Christmas tree and all the other things that is associated with the tree. And we're going to look at all these four traditions very quickly. You would probably know by now that 25th of December wasn't the birthday of Jesus. How did we stumble on 25th of December then? Really, 25th of December was actually a pagan holiday. The ancient Romans celebrated it because that's the day they call winter solstice. Winter solstice. It's the day that the sun appears after a long winter. And from there on, the days get longer and longer. And they love to see the sun again. And that was the pagan holiday they celebrated until about 300 AD. Constantine legalized Christianity. And everybody became Christians all over the Roman Empire. And that was the time they adopted 25th of December, which was a pagan holiday, and it is still a pagan holiday today. And they adopted it to be the day Jesus was born. Jesus wasn't born on 25th December, all right? We don't really know the date, and it's good that we don't know. But it's somewhere between April to May, right? And as we go down the list, I'm going to burst your bubbles, all right? Many of you have got wrong ideas about what Christmas is all about. It's never about 25th of December. And you may be saying, Pastor John, then why do we celebrate 25th December if it's not? We take the opportunity to use this time to remember, to celebrate, to worship, to just to think and think back of the day when Jesus came. But it wasn't 25th of December. Another custom we can thank the pagans for, and who are the pagans? The heathens, the Gentiles. All of us, we are the pagans, all right? Only the Jews, they are the people of God. The rest are pagans and Gentiles. Another custom is Santa Claus. Santa Claus. I have to tell you, Santa Claus is not real. Santa Claus, the whole idea about Santa Claus started somewhere 300 years after Jesus, when there was this bishop. His name was Nicholas. He was a bishop from Myra, a place in modern-day Turkey. Nicholas cared for the poor. He loved the poor, and he find ways to give them, to help them, and he is always sending gifts to the poor, especially the children. And after his death, the people continued this tradition of giving gifts to each other. And the Dutch, I mean, of course, by that time, they call him Saint Nicholas. And the Dutch call him Sinterklaas, which then moved or evolved into the name Santa Claus. That's how we got our name. So again, I need to tell you, Santa Claus is not real. I know many of you know it is not real, all right? But It is a tradition that's so entrenched. And parents love to make their children believe that there is a Santa Claus. And it is the parents who give them gifts. And they even encourage their children to write letters to Santa Claus, to tell Santa Claus, what is it that you like? And there was this letter written by a little boy, and he wrote a letter 1 year to Santa Claus. And he wrote only 3 lines. The first line he wrote, he said, "Dear Santa, last year you didn't give me anything good." And then the second line he wrote, "And the year before that, you didn't give me anything good either." And the last line he wrote, "Santa, this is your last chance." We find that very funny, but this little boy really believed there was a Santa, and he was really upset with Santa. Now, don't get me wrong. Giving is a good tradition. It is true we all need to learn to be hospitable, to be generous, but Santa Claus is not real. Thirdly, the log cake. The log cake actually represents the importance of wood, because during their winter, it is the wood that keeps them alive. We don't know it here because it is warm all year round. But if you're living in the cold countries, you will die if you do not have wood. So the log cake is merely to remind them of the importance of wood. But what I really like to talk to you this morning about is the Christmas tree. And the lights, and the gifts. Why would people decorate it and then put lights on it and put gifts under? The gifts we saw earlier, it all started with Nicholas. But the lights, probably, we don't know for sure, but the lights probably reminded them of the winter solstice, the day when the sun appeared. There was more light, more sunshine. But traditionally, today, most of our Christmas trees are either green or white. But they are all plastics. Unless you're rich enough to have a real one that doesn't last very long. How many of you have actually touched a real-life Christmas tree? It could be a spruce or a fig, yeah. If you rub the leaves, all right, you get a very nice smell. But you don't rub this, all right? If you rub, everything will fall off. So we really want to know two questions. We want to answer two questions. What is the origin of the Christmas tree? How did it all got started? And we want to know also, what does it symbolize? What does it represent? So the first question, what is the origin of the Christmas tree? And it probably started some 500 years after Jesus, after the fall of the Roman Empire, when people start to put up trees and we do not know very much about it after that. And because there are so many versions, I wouldn't want even to try to guess which one is correct. It's kind of like golf, you know. Some would argue that golf started in Scotland. Others say, no, it started in China. Way before it started in, so the controversy goes on, and it's not beneficial for us to go into that. But what does the Christmas tree symbolize? What does it symbolize? When you look at a Christmas tree, immediately you notice the lights, the decorations, and then the gifts. And as we've said earlier, the gifts was influenced much by Nicholas. So today we talk about the spirit of giving during Christmas, which is again good. Some even would venture to say that the Christmas tree is quite biblical. We can find it in the Bible. And they would always refer to this passage in Jeremiah chapter 10. Let me just flash it up here. Jeremiah chapter 10 verses 3 and 4. Reading to you in the New Living Translation, verse 3 reads, "Their ways are futile and foolish. They cut down a tree, and a craftsman carves an idol. They decorate it with gold and silver, and then fasten it securely with hammer and nails, so that it won't fall over." Was Jeremiah speaking about a Christmas tree? First of all, if you think Jeremiah was describing a Christmas tree, you are absolutely wrong, because Jeremiah lived some 600 years before Jesus, so it can't be a Christmas tree. Secondly, if you look at the verse carefully, Jeremiah was condemning idol worship. Jeremiah was describing a group of people whom he called foolish, and their ways, the things that they do, is futile, in vain. It's a waste of time. Jeremiah described how the process went. They first cut down a tree, and then another person, a craftsman, would then shape it into an idol, an object, an image, and then they will put it on a stand. And not only that, they would have to nail it down so that it doesn't fall over. And having done that, these fools, the Bible calls them, would then bow down and worship what their hands have made. And God in other parts says, "You fool, you take one part of the wood, you carve it into an object, and then you bow down and say, this is my God. And the other part of the wood, you put into your stove, and you cook your dinner." And really, God is saying, if it is a piece of wood or a stone that you can carve into an idol, and you say, this is God, how can he be God? When you, with your own hands, you have created your own God. And in the eyes of God, you are a fool. This is not about a Christmas tree. But the Bible did speak of another important tree. And that tree was planted on a hill called Golgotha in Hebrew. But in the Latin, which we are more familiar with, it is Calvary. That is in Latin. Where Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The cross, in a number of places in the Bible, it was called the tree. One such passage is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. In a Young's Living Translation, verse 24 reads, "Who our sins himself did bear in his body upon the tree, that to the sins having died, to the righteousness we may live. by whose stripes ye are healed. Here Peter is saying that Jesus himself took on all our sins. And he was nailed to the tree for our sins, so that we may receive his righteousness. I do know that Christmas is a joyful time, and you may be saying, Pastor John, it's not quite appropriate to talk about death during this time of celebration. But we must remember that on the first Christmas, when Jesus was born, both Joseph and Mary already knew that Jesus was born to be the Savior of the world. And that would mean he must die. Jesus must die. Luke chapter 2 verse 11 tells us that today in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Lord. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Further, we see confirmation of that in the gifts that the wise men brought. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If you remember, these were the three gifts. The other problem is we always sing the carol, "We Three Kings." There are more than three kings who came, but there were only three gifts. And these three gifts were so significant in that gold represented king, meaning Jesus is king. What about frankincense? Frankincense is something they use for worship. And Jesus is God, and he deserves worship. He alone deserves worship. Not a piece of wood or stone. Thirdly, myrrh. Myrrh is an embalming herb. During the time of Jesus, and Jesus was also embalmed in herb, in this myrrh, signifying that Jesus must die. He must die for our sins. So the question you may still be asking, why must Jesus die? Well, he must die, the Bible tells us, because we have sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The word sin, in Greek, it means to miss the mark. If you're an archer, you shoot an arrow. If you so much as miss the bull's eye, God is saying, you have missed the mark. You have sinned. And that is the real meaning. In other words, we can also say, we have failed to meet God's standard. Because his standard is Jesus Christ. Perfection. That is his standard. And all of us have missed that mark. We have sinned. Or in other parts of scriptures, God used the word rebel. Rebellion. We have rebelled against the control of God in our lives. We are telling God, God, back off. Get lost. I want to do things my way. In the sight of God, that is sin. That is rebellion. And if that is sin, what is the penalty of sin? God again tells us that in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But, the good news is this, the gift of God is eternal life, which can only be found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the penalty, and that's the gift. So today, the penalty is certain. The gift is available. And the choice is yours. What is the penalty, really? Or the gift? The penalty here in the Bible, God speaks of a second death. Not this physical death. We will all certainly die one day, because in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." We all have an appointment with death. And after that, there is no second chance. There's no purgatory, because the Bible doesn't teach that there is a place where there is a second chance. 10 seconds after you draw your last breath, you will stand before God, and God will have to ask you, "Why must I let you into heaven?" Have you thought of that? Why must I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Because you better think carefully. Your answer would determine whether you spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. That is the penalty. Because God must punish sin. Blood must be shed. Someone has to die. And it's going to be us, because we are the sinners. But instead, God loves us. He doesn't want us to spend eternity in hell. And the Bible tells us that Jesus loved us so much that he went willingly to the cross. He took our places on the cross and died for our sins. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Meaning to say, if you believe in Jesus, you will have eternal life. The reverse is also true. If you choose not to believe in Jesus, you will spend eternity in hell, paying for your own sins. Not someone else's sins, but you pay for your own sin in hell. And I have to tell you that there is life after death. You don't evaporate into nothingness. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and they will spend either in heaven or in hell. If you believe in Jesus, you can receive the free gift of eternal life. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, he said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This indescribable gift is the gift of eternal life. And this indescribable gift is also Jesus, because life is only found in Jesus. And God has given us this gift. He has left it on a tree, a special tree we call Calvary tree. Not Christmas tree. So the question you may want to ask is, "Pastor John, how can I receive this free gift?" And the Bible tells us, if you would only believe. And you may want to ask, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? And I'll make it very simple for you. A, B, and C. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Firstly, you have to admit. You have to admit that you're a sinner, heading for hell. You deserve it, and I deserve it too. I'm no better than you. You have to admit that you're a sinner. Confess. Tell God, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. We need to confess and then repent. A, admit. B, you have to believe. Believe that Jesus is God, that He died for your sins, that His blood was shed on the cross for us. He paid the penalty, and then He died. He was buried, but He rose again on the third day. And the best part is, He's coming again. Jesus is coming again. You have to believe. Lastly, see, you need to call out to Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord and your Savior, to be your Master. A, admit. B, believe. C, you need to call out to Jesus. Because Jesus came in a human form as a baby, and He went to the cross to die in our places. And because of that, because of the shed blood of Jesus, we can find forgiveness today for our sins, and then to receive eternal life and to live in heaven forever. The big question is, will you want to receive this free gift? And what does it mean to receive? It means to admit that you're a sinner, and then to believe that Jesus is God. He died in your place. And because of His blood, you are covered by His blood, and you're forgiven by God. And lastly, He needs to be the boss of your life. And I can tell you that Christian life is exciting, meaningful, and purposeful. But it's not easy. I'm not going to kid you. All right? Having Jesus as your boss means that you have to follow Him, to walk after Him in obedience. And that's the tough part. And I don't want to bluff you to say that once you believe in Jesus, everything will be well. You will not have problems with your husband and your wife and your children and your job and your bosses. That's not all true. But it will be easier because you have Jesus to help you. So the question is, will you accept His gift of eternal life? I want to speak to some of you who are Christians, born again. You have been in churches for many years. At the Christmas tree, there's nothing for you, nothing for me. But at Calvary tree, there's something for all of us, even if you're born again. Is there a gift for you? Yes. And this is the gift of not eternal life, because you already have eternal life. But the gift is abundant life. John chapter 10, Jesus promised, if you were to follow Him, you will have the abundant life, which is meaningful, purposeful, and exciting. Not easy, but exciting. The question is, will you make it your aim from today onwards to walk in obedience, to follow the man who loved you so much that He went to the tree for you? the Calvary tree. The man who gave his whole life for you. The question is, will you give your whole life to him? Now, that's not an option, because that's a demand. That's a demand on all of us who today realize we are sinners and we have believed in Jesus and we have called him into our lives to be our Lord and Savior. And if he's God and he's Lord, he's Master, then we must allow him to be the Master of our lives. The big question is he truly your Master? I hope that today you understand that many of the traditions were all fakes. It's created by some people, commercialized by society today. But this is the true Christmas story. It is not about a Christmas tree, but it is about another tree called Calvary tree. I hope if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus today, you will make that decision today to call him God and Lord of your life. I'll be happy to answer any of your questions or even to pray with you after this. God bless you.